Commence our service tonight with hymn number 98. Hymn number 98, "There is a green hill far away without a city wall." We'll stand to sing. Good singing. We'll commit our time to the Lord in a word of prayer. We'll seek the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we kneel before Thy throne of grace. And Lord, we realize that there is no good thing in us that Thou shouldst pour out Thy love upon us. Yet, O Lord, we thank Thee for all Thy goodness, for all Thy bountiful mercies to us, even this day. Lord, we rejoice in all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee, O God, for our health and our strength. We thank Thee, O God, for soundness of mind. We thank Thee, O God, for food on our tables and clothes on our backs. And Lord, we thank Thee for work that we have to go to day and daily. Lord, we thank Thee for this place that Thou hast provided for us. This sanctuary where we can come to worship and praise Thy holy name. We thank Thee, O God, for all the works that are carried on within this church. How we rejoice, Lord, that there is a place for our children to come to in Sunday school, where the Word of God goes forth faithfully from teachers who are born again believers. And Lord, we thank Thee that it is the open book, the Bible, that we study in Sunday school. We thank Thee, O God, for our youth fellowship. We thank Thee, O God, for our children's meeting and for boys and girls, even from this town, who can come in and hear the faithful Word of God proclaimed. Lord, we thank Thee for this pulpit, for the preaching of Thy truth. And Lord, Thou hast been so merciful to us in this, our own country and in our own land. How we rejoice, Lord, that we have so many churches where the gospel is faithfully preached. We have so many churches dotted throughout this land where men of God stand on the Sabbath day with a word from God. Lord, these are privileges, and we rejoice in them, and we thank Thee for Thy mercy toward us. And, O God, we come to Thee even tonight, and we thank Thee most especially, as we've been singing here, of the cross, that green hill far away without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all of his people. Lord, we thank thee that he went to Calvary's cross and that he shed his precious blood, that he completed the work, that he was obedient unto the Father's will. And, O God, how we rejoice that in mercy the Lord Jesus reached down and picked us up, even out of the miry clay. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Lord, we pray that thou wilt accept our thanks for all thy goodness to us and for all thy blessings. We thank thee, Lord, that we have thy word in our mother tongue, that we can read it, and by thy Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can understand it to some degree. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt lead us and draw us even closer unto thee. Guide us, O God, we pray, from thy truth. And Lord, even use us in thy service. We thank thee, Lord, for all the outreaches of this church. Especially we think of the open air. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless thy servants who stand every Saturday night, Lord, in the lower square. We pray that, Lord, thou wilt use them. Use the word that goes forth. And Lord, we pray that souls who maybe would never darken the door of a church, as they go up and down past the open air, that, Lord, that they might hear a word in season, that they might be convicted in their own souls. And Lord, it might be a means of them coming and throwing down their puny arms of rebellion and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Father, bless us tonight. We need thy help, each one of us. Lord, I need thy help. Everyone gathered here needs thy help to hear thy word. And Lord, we pray that it will be a word in season. We pray that it will be a word of encouragement. And Lord, that we will be changed people as we leave thy house even tonight. That, Lord, we might be invigorated to go on with thee, strengthened, Lord, in our walk with thee and in our faith. Lord, bless us tonight. We pray for the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will attend to the preaching of thy truth. Even in weakness, Lord, thy Spirit can take the word and drive it into hearts and drive it into souls. Lord, we ask that thou wilt come and be one of our number, that thou wilt bless us and undertake for us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we'll read from the verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather, give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. In the youth fellowship this last while, we have been looking at Luke chapter 11, with emphasis largely on prayer, where the Lord teaches his disciples what we call the Lord's Prayer. And we all know the Lord's Prayer and have known it from our Sunday school days. We saw, first of all, from what we looked at, the importance of the perseverance in prayer and God's promises to us when we pray. Then the next time we looked at it, we saw that the many ways that the devil has to cause us to cease from prayer, where he speaks of a dumb devil in the verse 14. And we can be like the dumb devil, especially when it comes to prayer. Because when we have an opportunity to pray, we hold our tongue. And we don't step out in faith and call upon the Lord. But I just want to look for a few minutes at these verses that we've read to try to glean something of value from them for us before we come to our time of prayer. We see, first of all, Christ's willingness to mix with the unconverted. He was willing to mix with the unconverted. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to a throng of people. Now, if you look in verse 29, it says, "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say," it was as if there was a throng of people gathered thick together. So there were many people gathered there. Now, they were gathered there even though they came for different motives. Some of them maybe wanted to come to hear the preaching of the word, to hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Others came maybe because they had heard of his miracles, and maybe they'd hoped to see some miracle that the Lord was going to do. And their motives may not have been right, yet they were listening here to the Prince of Preachers, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus was not missing the mark here. He wasn't missing the target, because he calls them in verse 29 an evil generation. An evil generation, because they sought a sign. Not only were they content to come to where the Lord Jesus was to hear him physically preaching, actually preaching, but they wanted to see a sign. And he condemns them for it. And he says, if you read on there, those few verses, 30, 31, he talks of the men of Nineveh, that they shall rise up in judgment and condemn this generation because they didn't believe. And Jonah went to Nineveh and he preached to them, and they believed. They believed what he had said. They believed the gospel. Yet here they have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching to them and they'll not even believe. And he talks also of the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, as it's said in verse 31 there, who travelled a long distance to see and to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Yet he says there, yet here is one greater than Solomon. And they still didn't believe. The Lord Jesus Christ here didn't tell these people, keep on doing what you're doing and be good and help others, and then I'll maybe look favorably upon you when it comes the time of judgment. The Lord Jesus here preached to them the truth. The truth. That's what he preached. And we need to tell people the truth in love. We need to tell them the truth. But as he was speaking, we read in verse 37 of a Pharisee seeking that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and dine with him. Now, the Pharisees, as we know, laid great emphasis on the observance of rites and rituals and ceremonies. And they made a pretense of superior piety. if you follow that. They pretended to be superior than all the rest of the people that was around them, and more holy than other people. That's what they were, that's the way they were. And they separated themselves from the common people. We would say they were nice fellows. People who we would maybe leave to themselves, take nothing to do with them, but not Christ. For in verse 37, it plainly tells us that he went in and he sat down to meet. Even though this Pharisee, with all his faults, the Lord Jesus, no hesitation, went in to where he sat down to take meat with him. Christ was willing to mix with the unconverted because he wanted to set before them the way of salvation. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We should be out there telling other people of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. You notice here this Pharisee besought him. Verse 37, as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. That's a great word, besought. The Pharisee didn't just come and ask the Lord, would he come in and dine with him? He didn't just come and pray that the Lord would come to his house and sit down at meat. But the word besought means ask urgently or fervently. It's to implore or to entreat. He really wanted the Lord Jesus to come and dine with him. The mission of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, as I said, was come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's why he went in. And that should be our desire as followers of Christ, to follow his example. And, you know, there are times when you get an invitation to go any place and you think to yourself, well, I wonder, should I go or should I not? Because there'd be a few, maybe more than a few people there, and they wouldn't be of my line of thinking. But we should do as the Lord did. We should mix with the ungodly and sit down at their tables if that's what's required. But we should always remember that we should not partake of their worldly language, their worldly conversation, or their worldly amusements. We must copy the Lord's boldness in speaking of the things of God and rebuke sin, as the Lord Jesus rebuked sin here of the Pharisees. And if we do this, then our souls will take no harm. If we stick to our line of thinking and set before them the gospel, the pure gospel, no matter what they're saying, our souls will take no harm and we will be able to do a work for the Lord. People will be able to see there's something different in us, that we're not just joining in with the worldly crowd, but we're different. Proverbs 18 and verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And that's what we should do, even with the unconverted. Well, then secondly, we see the hypocrisy of false religion. Look at verse 38. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Hypocrisy. The Pharisee here was saying to the Lord, really, I know better than you. You should have washed before you come in to dine. So he was saying he knew better than the Lord. They saw the washing of the hands as a sign of moral impurity. But the Lord addresses the issue straight away. Verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Everybody can understand that. The Pharisees, it was an outward sign. It was an outward show of religion. It was on the surface. Superficial is a word. Good word for here. Superficial. It was on the surface. Scratch the surface and you'll see the rottenness that there is with these Pharisees. So he addresses the issue straight away. It's absurd for us to cleanse the body while the heart is filthy. It's absurd. And we should realize that it's the state of our hearts that's more important to God. The heart. Proverbs, turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It says there, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart. We should keep our hearts first of all. Then in 1 Samuel 16, in the verse 7, it says, For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And you know, men and women, as we come to a time of prayer before the Lord, we should always ask ourselves this question, a very good question it is. Where is my heart? Where is my heart? And as the Lord gave me this message, I'm bringing this message to myself as much as to you, because the Lord gave it to me first. Where is my heart when I come to pray in the prayer meeting, or I come to pray at home? Lastly, we see the gross inconsistency of the Pharisees. Look at verse 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Inconsistency with the Pharisees. They tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs in their ceremonial law, but they missed justice to their fellow man, and they missed, most of all, love toward God. They had no love for the Lord. They were only interested in the ritual and the ceremony, if they were doing it right. That's all they were interested in. They were overzealous and overenthusiastic in the small things. But in the primary thing, the love toward God, they were heathens. That's what it boiled down to. They were just heathens. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 9 says, There's no new thing under the sun. And you know, men and women, this behaviour is still happening, even today, in organised religion. Men are going about and they're worrying about the ritual and the ceremony. And there's no love toward God. Rites and rituals and ceremonies. And they're putting that before the preaching of the truth, the preaching of the gospel. And that's the way society's going. That's the way Christendom is going. Religion is going. More interested in rituals and ceremonies. They're putting the cart before the horse. Cart before the horse. You notice here the Lord Jesus pronounced a woe. He practically pronounced it twice, verse 42 and 43. A woe from God is a very fearful thing. And if you're to search all the woes in Scripture, the book of Isaiah, there's a whole lot of woes in it. The woe of God. It's a fearful thing. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't miss the mark. Verse 42, woe unto you Pharisees. Verse 43, woe unto you Pharisees. He gave it to them with both barrels. It's a fearful thing. We should, as we come to our time of prayer, beseech the Lord, as this Pharisee did in verse 37. He besought him to dine with him. It's the Lord's presence that makes the feast. And we know that. Sometimes we have prayer meetings and we would nearly say they're dead prayer meetings. We've got to admit that. And other times we go out of the prayer meeting with a spring in our step and we say that was a good time of prayer. We should beseech the Lord that he would presence himself with us, even tonight. That he would come and dine with us, as it were, in the prayer meeting and in our season of prayer. We have a whole lot of things to pray about. When you stop and think, look at the state of our government in Westminster. Look at the state of the government in Stormont. Look at the state of the church. People are drifting away. Now, I know we're in the middle of a pandemic, and people are staying away for fear of the pandemic, for fear of catching the thing. I know that those people will come back when the pandemic's over. But there are others who are drifting away for their own reasons. We should go out and be friendly to the unconverted and invite them in. The Lord gave me another question, and I take it for myself first. When was the last time you asked anybody into this church? Invited them in. When was the last time? I know for me, it was a long time back. If every one of us could invite one person in, we'd be in a revival. That's where we'd be, in a revival. We should beseech the Lord. There's lots and lots of things, as I say, we've got to pray for. We can pray for a moderator. We can pray for the officers of presbytery. We can pray for our elders, our committee men throughout our denomination. Every church, we can pray for different churches. What about the missionaries? What about the churches throughout the world? We can pray for them as well. You don't all have to pray for every one of them things, but if you just mention one or two of them, the Lord would hear your prayer if you come to him. If your heart is right with the Lord and you come to him and seek his face.